2009. Un cyclone passe, l'école tombe, Haïtien campé,
Haïti pas crasé.
Nous n'en faisons pas, nous pas capables, nous style gain l'espoir.
Haïti pas crasé.
Passez mes amis sont des vins
Welcome back to Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Gohatkar. Michel Martelly was officially declared the elected president of Haiti on April 21st. The pop star turned politician takes office on May 14th. His victory caps a protracted and highly contested presidential race that required a March 20th runoff election. Allegations of fraud marred the entire election process, beginning before the first vote was cast in November. The exclusion of the Fanmi Lavalas party from running any candidates further tainted the process and spurred a voter boycott. Martelly won with 67% of the runoff vote. However, overall turnout was dismal, with less than 25% of the electorate participating. Today, the Provincial Electoral Council postponed the certification of results in 19 legislative races, citing widespread concerns over election irregularities and even outbreaks of violence over the announced results. Last week, President-elect Martelly met publicly with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Washington. Haiti Liberté newspaper reports that a significant portion of Martelly's $6 million campaign fund came from U.S. contributors. Clinton and Martelly discussed plans for rebuilding the earthquake-ravaged nation with a focus on the private sector. Clinton described the benefits of a planned industrial park in Haiti and announced its first committed tenant, a global textile firm. She estimated it would bring 20,000 permanent export-oriented jobs. During his trip to Washington, the Miami Herald reports Martelly also met with officials at the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, and he also attended a social gathering at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. My guest is Brian Concannon, Jr. He is the director of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. Welcome to Uprising, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Sonali. It's a pleasure, as always.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, you know, we heard the music of the president-elect as we were starting this interview. How shocked are you that he won the election? This is someone who doesn't have much experience. He didn't run with an established party. Was this something that Haitians saw coming?
We've seen it coming at least for the last 3 months. It would have been a shock for Mr. Martelly to have won a fair election. It still would be a shock if he were able to win a fair election. But it was really set up for several months for him to be able to win this. First of all, as you mentioned, the Haitian government kept the left side of the spectrum off by eliminating Fanmi Lavalas from running any candidates at all. And then Secretary Clinton really pushed Martelly in. He was originally the third-place finisher after the first round. But thanks to a combination of Mr. Martelly putting thugs out on the streets and Secretary Clinton putting a lot of pressure on the Electoral Council, his place was switched with the person who was originally in the second place, which put him in. And once that was made, the election was really determined by at that point, because it was a very easy victory for him against the runoff challenger. But again, what he did was win 2/3 of a small percentage of the vote. So he certainly is not the choice of the Haitian people.
So why is the U.S. backing him?
I think the U.S. is backing him. First of all, they like anybody who is not Lavalas. And I think they particularly like him because Michel Martelly he's a very clever politician, and his cleverness was enhanced by having a very sophisticated political consulting group, a group that had done a lot of work on John McCain's campaign, helping him out. And he was very effective at making almost a Tea Party-type appeal to poor people. And as a result, he got a lot of people who were otherwise Lavalas voters to vote for him. And that made him very attractive to the United States.
Well, how so? Can you give us details of that? A Tea Party-like appeal? What does that mean in Haiti?
In a sense, it was a very populist appeal in his message. And he made some promises like free education for free universal primary education, which would be great if he did it, but it's probably not going to be done, not going to be carried out. But anti-elitist and talking about the political establishment as the problem and lumping everybody together as the political establishment, including President Aristide, but also former President Duvalier and Préval, and kind of making this us the people against them, the elite type of argument, which, again, didn't carry the majority of the people, but it carried enough of the Lavalas supporters who were very much disenchanted with Haiti's politics to vote for him.
So what exactly does his election now mean for Haiti? Does his backing by the U.S. usher in the next phase of privatization in Haiti? The fact that Haiti has been, you know, is still recovering from the devastating earthquake, it certainly is a prime location for companies, corporations, and institutions like the International Monetary Fund to take more advantage of it. It seems to be being prepped for the kind of disaster capitalism that Naomi Klein talks about, and certainly Haiti is no stranger to that already.
Sure. It's no accident, as you mentioned, that the places he went to were the conservative Washington Post, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and the IMF while he was in Washington. And it does seem that he is clearly going to implement all of those policies. And President Préval, to some extent President Aristide, when he was president, they were really put over a barrel and forced to do some of these things, including privatization, including cutting down on social spending. And now you have the U.S. with a very willing partner. So it seems that the decrease in government spending will continue, and that you'll have a country that's very much open for business at the expense of workers and the environment and the overall development of the country.
Now, with the return recently of former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, he has said, of course, he does not want to be involved in electoral politics. But what does that mean for the Haitian political landscape now?
Well, I expect, and this is the reason why the U.S. worked so hard to prevent this from happening, but I expect that what President Aristide will do will be an organizing pull for people who oppose the conservative economic and social policies of the Martelly administration. One of the things that the Préval administration had done a very good job of was demobilizing grassroots opposition through a combination of a little bit of the Obama effect, in the sense that many people thought that when they elected Préval, they got what they wanted, and so they stopped fighting, but also by bringing in key leaders into his government. And I think Martelly will probably try to do the same thing. The difference between Préval and Martelly will be that you have President Aristide there, who's a grassroots leader who will not be brought into the government and will not be co-opted, so I expect that he will be a focal point for organizing and for commenting on the social effects of the government's policy.
Now, the legislative elections results have also come out, and outgoing President René Préval has his party retained most of its seats. Martelly's taken a public position disagreeing with these election results, although, of course, he backs the election that landed him the job. But he's also promising a sort of unified government, is he not?
Under Haiti's constitution, you need to choose the prime minister from the majority party, and you have to have all of your ministers and their general plan of governance approved by Parliament. So President Martelly has no choice. I mean, he has to work with the Unité Party, and which will, technically under the Constitution, the Prime Minister is supposed to be more powerful than the President. In practice, that is never, we've never had a Prime Minister whose power actually approached the President. But President Martelly will have to compromise a decent amount with the Unité and other people in Parliament. Although it's interesting, one of the things that he had said back before he was running for president, someone asked him about running a country, he said, the first thing that I will do if I get if I were president would be to abolish Parliament for 2 years. And so I think that one of the things we'll be looking at, certainly, is the extent to which he will try to diminish the role that the Constitution gives to Parliament and to the judiciary, and the extent that he tries to increase the powers of the president beyond what the Constitution allows.
My guest is Brian Concannon, Jr. He's the director of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. We're looking at the results of Haiti's elections. So in this situation, where does that leave Fanmi Lavalas? You mentioned that Jean-Bertrand Aristide is going to, his presence is going to provide a focus for organizing efforts, particularly among progressives in Haiti. Is there, you know, what hope is there for the Lavalas party, which has been so left out of, you know, in every way from electoral politics since the coup that that ousted Aristide? Is Lavalas looking to disband and form a new party? How can it in any way inject itself into Haitian politics if it's constantly being excluded?
The Lavalas party has a leadership gap in the sense that it doesn't have a lot of top leaders. A lot of them were killed or imprisoned or exiled or co-opted. But it does have about a 70% support from the Haitian electorate, which in a democratic situation should amount to something. It doesn't currently amount to anything in the sense that there are no Lavalas representatives in government. There are supposed to be local elections for mayor and municipal councils coming up later this year. If any Lavalas runs in those elections, even if it doesn't have a very strong core leadership, it will still win the vast majority of those seats because of its immense popular support, and so that it could very quickly have a fairly strong base, and that's a base that it could build up to national elections. Taking power in Parliament will take a long time. There won't be elections for the House of Deputies for another 4 years. There'll be one-third of the Senate comes up every 2 years, and presidents not for another five. So Fanmi Lavalas has a long time before it could take national power, but it certainly can take pretty significant power on the local level if there are fair elections. And the reason always given to exclude Fanmi Lavalas has been based on the fact that President Aristide was not able to register the parties in person because he was in forced exile in South Africa. Now the government will either have to come up with a new pretext to keep President Aristide out, or will have to allow Fanmi Lavalas out, or have to allow them to contest elections.
Well, finally, what has the reaction among Haitians been to the results of the elections? I understand that there were several violent incidents in a number of Haitian cities after the results were put out. There were demonstrations. Someone set fire to a government building in central Haiti. You know, does that accurately describe the general reaction from the population?
The reaction of the general population to the results are the same thing, the same reaction to the elections itself, which is the vast majority of people are apathetic about this because they never felt these elections were fair to begin with, so the results don't matter to them, and that's why they didn't vote in November, that's why they didn't vote in March. The violence is coming from supporters of candidates, and these elections have been so flawed that almost any candidate has a very good argument that he or she was deprived of the rightful place at the top of the electoral results. And as a result, people have been putting their supporters in the street, sometimes legally, sometimes not. And you actually have the precedent of President Marchley. One of the reasons why he got onto the runoff ballot was he did send funds out with clubs to take over Port-au-Prince for a few days. That precedent remains, and so a lot of other people are saying, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to send my supporters out to destroy in the hopes of getting some election results reversed. But from what I can tell, that seems to be, I mean, there's many incidents, but it seems to be a minority. You don't have a majority of Haitians getting that upset about these elections about the election's results because they were never serious elections to begin with.
Well, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for continuing to cover Haiti, Sonali.
Brian Concannon Jr. is the director of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. We've been talking about the election results that were recently announced in Haiti, both presidential and legislative election results.